His family live in Brooklyn, so they're not too far away. And that's not Brooklyn, New York, but Brooklyn, Ontario. He is the representative for Eastern Canada at Partners International, a mission organization that works in over 50 countries. He has 20 years of experience in church relating to people and leadership groups, and he's passionate about connecting with others and challenging them to the reality of the gospel in their lives. Our second reading is Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, to will and to act according to his good purpose. Tim, welcome.
Well, thank you. It is great to be here with you today, and not too far for me to come. I enjoyed that drive, 25 minutes away from Brooklyn, so it was quite good. Just a couple of things I like to share right off the bat as I'm sharing, and you're getting to know me, and I'm getting to know you. My family that was introduced is kind of unique to us. My wife and my daughters are American, and my son and I are Canadian. Now, a lot of people have that. That might be true in this church as well. But also, we have a unique thing that our first dog was a female, and she was American, and now our male dog is Canadian. So somehow we've got that right and all set up. So there we go. No, it's great to be with you today and just to share the word with you. My background in the church is something I'm very proud of, that I served in pastored and associate roles for many years, and now get to represent missions across Eastern Canada and around the world as well. So that reference to just being an advocate for ministry as well. Well, I got to tell you, as we begin today, that I love water. I love being on the water. I love being in the water. I love being under the water. I love being near the water. In fact, I even love drinking the water. So how good was that to have a nice bottle right there? Does anybody share my passion for water? Do you like water? Yes. It's fantastic. There's so much you can do with it, and there's so many purpose for it. In fact, even in the scriptures, you can think of how many times water is referenced in the Bible. Jesus himself referred to himself as the living water, the only one who could quench that spiritual thirst that we all have. And yet, there's so much more to water. I want you to think about that first contact. I call it the point of contact with water. You know, when it changes your perspective and it changes your experience. One quick story for you. We were up at our family cottage several years ago, but around this time of the year, maybe a little bit later in November, and we were dealing with our docks. Anybody have to deal with the docks and tie them off and the ropes? Well, I waited a little too long that year. And we got up there, and the ice had started to freeze already. So I get up there, and the rope is kind of half in the water, half frozen. I'm looking at the water. You know where this story is going. The ice isn't thick, but I got to get that rope. I got to tie it up. I got to make it secure. I put that first foot out. Crack. A little bit more. Still got to get. Next thing you know, plunge right through. Up to my waist. Wet. I got to tell you. My perspective and experience with water changed on that contact with water. And that's what's going to be very true for us today as we look at the scriptures that we've considered. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, once again, from our first reading. Because there is something about that first contact with water that changes us. And today we're going to look at some scriptures that teach us that point of contact and what that's going to change our perspective and our experience as Christians today. So we might just get wet. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, we've read these verses. We're very familiar with these verses. In fact, I would guess that your church is even more familiar with this verse because it's in the name of your church. Grace. By grace through faith. We recognize that this is the verse and the work of only God, that God works it into our life, right? His work is a work that comes in and upon our lives. It speaks to that work that only He can do. Not that we can do. He works it into us. It's not of ourselves. It's not a thing we can boast of. It's a gift of His. It's that point of contact where He meets us and we connect and the relationship begins. It's like Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates for us in this, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. We serve a Savior that meets us where we're at. He meets us at that point of contact, and He wants to do a work in each of us that goes deep into our lives. It comes in us, not just around us. It's not enough just to be in and around a church or in and around other Christians. God wants to work in each of our lives. And this is very different than religion, because religion is really man's attempt to reach God, but grace is really God coming down to reach us and have that point of contact. So a familiar thought for us, but also an important one to remember on this day. Verse 10 speaks more to the good works. And we sometimes shy away from that phrase, don't we? Good works. What is our good works? Because it gets in the way with grace at times. And yet this passage merged these wonderfully. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We actually are created to do good works. So we don't have to shy away from it. We just have to have that proper understanding that He's working it into us and that we begin to work that out. So this speaks to the part that we play in this. And it's a critical verse. I find in my experience over the years that this is the real tipping point where some Christians really get lost in their part. What is my part and what is God's part? When you really dive into that, that's a very deep question. And that's not one I think any of us can answer fully, but we can understand from passages like this that He certainly has a part to play in our life, and He also wants us to play our part in our life as well. It's a beautiful partnership of what God is trying to do with us, and it illustrates us so well. I think often we think about the good works and we think, oh, but that's just too much about me. There's two comforts in this verse. One is that we're created in Christ Jesus to do it, and He's also prepared us in advance for these good works. Created and prepared. That sets us ready to go, right? And I want you to think back on your life. Think back over the years, in the last year, last couple of years. Can you think back and say, yes, I can remember that time I was created for that good work. I remember the time that God did prepare me for that good work. That's His work in our lives and our work as we illustrate and work that out. Now, I'm just going to move us along fairly quickly because I know we have a full service and it's a great service to be a part of. But quickly turn over to the passage that we read also to Philippians chapter 2. Because in there, you're going to notice a very similar theme, aren't we? Verse 12 speaks to, again, the work, speaks to our part. So it's kind of reverse of the other passage. The first verse talked about God's work in our life, where this second verse talked about our part. In verse 12 here, it says very differently. It says that we need to continue to work out our salvation. Wow. Work out our salvation. With how? With fear and trembling. Isn't that amazing? With fear and trembling. Not the fear that we think of in this world that offers, but a holy fear, a respect of God fear, a reverent fear, and trembling that what He's given us is something that needs to be processed and get out. And I find that that happens in several ways. It can happen here on a Sunday morning as we come to worship. It can happen in a small group. It can happen several ways as you think of your part in how to work out the salvation that he's given you. Isn't it powerful to know that as he works it in, we can work it out? Verse 13 speaks so much to this as to God's part. He will work it into us to will and to act again to his good purpose. So these passages merge together in a very beautiful and wonderful way, because they really are the point of contact that we have with God, where he is, on the one hand, making us different as his people, working it into us, and on the other hand, where we are making a difference as we work it out. I want to leave those thoughts with you, that making a difference can only happen if we are first different, if we first have that touch from God, so we can make that difference. He works it in, we work it out. Simple phrase, but it's among the deepest and most meaningful applications for our life. First, we have to kind of understand that and gain that perspective so that we can have that experience. This is the plunge and ripple effect. This is what we've entitled this sermon today. God working it in, we working it out. Being different so that we can make a difference. Now, some of you, I'm sure, have held a rock before. And I'm going to go back to the water. If you're up at the lake, if you take a rock and you want to throw it in the lake, right? You want to see how far you can throw it or how far you can skip it. But may I ask the obvious question? What happens when we throw a rock in the lake? It sinks, and it does something else. Yeah, it splashes, and it creates those ripples. And if you're like me, I like simple things, so I like imagery to help me apply things. Plunge and ripple. A lot of times we talk about our relationship with God and our relationship with others, and we categorize them. And yet when you throw a rock into the water, it doesn't get categorized as separate things. In fact, there's a simultaneous act, isn't there? As that rock is sinking, it is rippling at the same time. Not a couple minutes later or a couple years later. And I think there's a lesson in that for us. These passages are telling us that as we have that point of contact with God, as we enter relationship, that we are actually growing deeper with him, he's working it into us, and the ripple effect in our life is going out simultaneously. Think about it. You might know, or maybe your testimony is when you first came to Christ. I love the stories of people who come to Christ one week and the next week they're sharing the faith. They're sharing about the good news. They don't know all the answers, but they start sharing. There's something about that for all of us. Whether you're a new Christian, an old Christian, or somewhere in between, that work of him working it in and us working it out, that plunge and that ripple effect, simultaneous. So we plunge deeper with God. And I want to ask you this question as we reflect. I want to spend some extra time in reflection, because a lot of times I think in church we come and we listen and we learn, and that's good, and we hear messages, but now we got to turn it back on ourselves. What is God saying to me in these moments? What is the point of this plunge and this ripple effect? Well, just like the water, there needs to be something about that point of contact that completely changes our perspective and our experience. Is your relationship with God changing your perspective and experience? Are you seeing him in your life? Are you experiencing him as well? It's one thing to see, because perspective is sight. It's gaining context to what is happening in and around us. And it is also another thing to experience it. So sight and living this plunge and ripple effect. We may be here today, and we might be actually hearing this for the first time. We might be here hearing that this is point of contact. I don't know if I actually ever entered into that point of contact. And you know, when you come to Christ, you will know that point of contact, just like I knew when I went through that ice. I had that point of contact. So let me say to you today, if you've never come to that point, I encourage you to receive him today, to find out more who he is. Going to church and doing great things doesn't make you a Christian. I remember a pastor saying to you, going to church doesn't make you a Christian, just like going to Taco Bell doesn't make you a taco. And I said, that's an interesting thought, okay. But it's coming to that point of realizing and experiencing him. So perhaps you're here today and you need to discover your destiny with him. John 10:10 says that he has come to give us life and life to the full, both an eternal life, but also that full life here on earth. I remember once a young lady became to Christ, and somebody was sharing the message with her, and somehow they left out the part about heaven, kind of an important part. But she wanted to become a Christian based on the forgiveness and the full life that she would have here and now. Very interesting. A lot of us carry it for our eternal security, but we want to know for here and now. So there's a full life and a meaningful life. So discover your destiny. Maybe today we're here and we've lacked an understanding and an application of who we are. Maybe we remember it and we've lost sight of that. We've gone off track. Who are we? John 1:12 helps us to discover our identity. We're a child of God. At the end of the day, when we wander and we wonder what, where, and what's going on in our life, remember this, you're a child of God. That brings more security and hope for your future than anything else this world can offer you. Know that you're a child of his. You belong to him, and he belongs to you. So perhaps today we're discovering what that identity is, or rediscovering that. We can also be here today thinking about, well, I was thinking about what you said about the ripple, but my ripple's not going so far these days. It's kind of having that one splash. And you'd want to see that ripple. And maybe people have become more of a bother than a burden to you. Maybe there's a bit more of a part there. And even in our church and other churches, the Bible tells us we got to edify the church. Hebrews 10. Verses 24 and 25 says, don't give up meeting together. It says, spur one another on. Encourage each other. When we come, I hope one of the reasons you come to church isn't for all this great stuff that's going on here, but that you're looking for somebody who needs to be encouraged today. Hey, I'm going to go say hi to that person. I'm going to go spur them on. That's a big part of that. And I've seen that happening even as you were coming in today and people reaching out to me. That's a big reason for us to be at church. We have to decide to edify the church. Decide to edify the church. Maybe that's your commitment today as you renew and consider these things. Lastly, we may be in a point of reflection on the lost. We quickly can look around our world and see the need and the lostness of things happening here in Canada and around our world. I'm very aware of this in my international travels, going into villages that have nothing. When I say nothing, not even water, electricity, those kind of things, but not even a hope or heard the gospel. And so the lostness of that world is out there, and it's just beyond our walls right here. And we have to keep testifying to this world. We have to decide to testify to the world. St. Augustine said it probably best when he said, preach always, and if necessary, use words. Right? So I'm not saying we have to stand on the street corners and do that. Perhaps some of us do that. That's fine. But it's the whole living out of our faith to this world around us. Share that good news with others in word and in deed. Indeed, testify to the world. When we think of this point of contact, and water is this imagery of plunging and rippling, these areas for us now are time for us to reflect and consider, what is our part in this? God is working it into me. What is my response as I work it out? What is my response to these areas of discovering our destiny or rediscovering our destiny with God? What about the whole idea of discovering our identity? I'm a child of God, being affirmed and renewed in that. What about that? That's the part of God working it into us. What about the ripple? How far is that going? The ripple isn't going as far. Well, hey, maybe we have to decide to edify the church a little bit more. Encourage and spur each other on more than we're doing. Perhaps we have to decide to testify to that church that much needed needs that are out there. And so would you join me as we pray and as we respond to this message today? So join me in prayer. And just as your eyes are closed and we're reflecting today, God is speaking. His word is true. It means something today as it did years and years and years ago. Lord, you're speaking to us about the plunge and the ripple today. You're asking us to go deeper with you and to ripple further with others. Lord, today, would you help those today that are in that point of just that first contact with you? Lord, would they come to know you in a relationship? Would that be true, that they would know their destiny? Lord, for those here today that are in that boat of maybe forgotten or not realized that they are a child of yours, help them know their identity. Help them be reminded of this so that they can go deeper and deeper with you. And Lord, for our ripples in this world, help us to start here in the church. Help us to testify and edify to our church. Encourage and spur each other on. For those who need to do this more, would you help them in this area by your grace and your strength? And Lord, for those who seek to testify to this world and go further and ripple even further in word and in deed, Lord, would you do this in a miraculous way in our lives, that we would be different and make a difference for those around us. Help us to plunge and ripple well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.